Good evening. We find ourselves now in the week of Parshas Vayigash. Vayigash is normally the parsha that is read right after Chanukah. And as this year, Zois Chanukah was Monday, so Chanukah ended in the week of Parshas Vayigash. And as we mentioned here many, many times, that when there is a Yom Tov during a week, that Yom Tov continues until after Shabbos. So the light and the Ha'oris, the Hashpois of Chanukah are with us until after this Shabbos. So for practice, and obviously it's not Chanukah tonight, and one is not allowed to light the Chanukah menorah tonight, or last night, or tomorrow night for that matter. But Beruchnius, Chanukah is still here, and Chanukah hasn't left, and it will be here until after the Shabbos, and then it has an Aliyah. And that's every Yom Tov that way, that the Yom Tov exists until after the Shabbos. Parshas Vayigash is the parasha in which the Golus begins, because this is the parasha where Yaakov and his sons come down to Mitzrayim. The entire family descends to Mitzrayim, all 70, as the Pasuk tells us, Kol HaNefesh HaBo'o LeBeis Yaakov Shivim. And as we know, there are the Avos, there are the Imohos, there are the Shvatim, and then there is the Shivim Nefesh, the Ayin Nefesh, which the Torah refers to them in the singular, the 70 soul, not Nefashos, but Nefesh, because Klal Yisrael are one. And that's a very important message that the Torah is hinting to us here as we enter Golus, as we go into Golus, because that is how we're going to survive when we are united. And in this parasha, the Shvatim unite. For a long time, there's been division, there's been misunderstanding. But this week, this parasha is where Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. And everything makes sense. There are no more questions. There's clarity. There's no more confusion. The brothers are crying with Yosef. Yosef is crying with them. There's now communication. We're getting along. There's achdus. But at the same time, the Golus is starting. The Golus is starting, although you don't notice it, because when Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, if you have Yaakov with you, you are not in Golus. If Yaakov Avinu is there, you're in Eretz Yisrael no matter where you are, because Yaakov is Eretz Yisrael. So wherever Yaakov goes, Eretz Yisrael goes with him. And as long as Yaakov is alive, even though geographically they find themselves in Mitzrayim, but they didn't feel the Golus yet. They first start to feel it next week's parasha of Vayechi, where Yaakov passes away, and then it gets worse when Yosef and the Shvatim pass away in parasha Shemois, and then it becomes very noticeable because the bondage starts and it intensifies. And the next 3 weeks, Vayigash, Vayechi, Shemois, the Golus intensifies. And as we're entering the month of Teves, which tonight is Dalet Teves, we read about how Klal Yisrael go down to Mitzrayim, because it's the same. We're entering the Mitzrayim of time. Teves is the Mitzrayim of time. What happened in Teves, one of the main events, the fast day that next week hopefully will be a joyous day, Asara B'Teves, is when Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Yerushalayim. He placed Yerushalayim in a siege. The word for a siege is Motzor. Motzor is the same as Mitzrayim, Min HaMetzar. Because we're now entering, in time, we're entering the Mitzrayim of time. Teves is a very difficult month. And Teves comes right when Chanukah concludes. Chanukah enters Teves, as we spoke yesterday in the Rosh Chodesh year, that Chanukah extends into Teves. It begins in Kislev and it enters Teves, but the majority of Teves, most of Teves, it's a very difficult month. In fact, Chazal referred to it as the Lele Teves Ho'aruchim, the long, dark, frigid, cold nights of Teves, where the Midas Hadin prevails, where the Satan rules, the Satan is Mekatreg. It's interesting that we read about that in this week's parasha, where Yehuda repeats to Yosef the story of why Yaakov didn't want to let him take Binyamin down to Mitzrayim. And last week we read the same thing, because perhaps an accident will occur on the road, like what happened to his mother. So Rashi tells us, Shahasatan mekatreg b'shas hasakana. The Satan prosecutes at a dangerous time. And that time is now. Teves is a dangerous time. Teves is a difficult time. And that's when the Satan rules. However, because Teves began with Hanukkah, Rosh Chodesh Teves is Hanukkah. Hanukkah enters the first two or three days of Teves. Teves already is sweetened. It's already been illuminated with the light of Hanukkah. And as we spoke, the Sfas Emes says we light 36 Neiros on Hanukkah because from Chof Hei Kislev until the end of Teves, throughout 36 days, the goal is that the Hanukkah should illuminate the Teves. And this parasha is always read as we enter the month of Teves, and it has in it the directives, the guidelines, how to deal with Teves, how to deal with Golus, how to deal with anti-Semitism, how to deal with everything that we are going through today, because this is the parasha where the Golus begins. And as it starts, the parasha begins with Vayigash Elov Yehuda. Yehuda approaches Yosef. The Sfarim HaKadoshim, the Imrei Noyam, and others all were mechavein to a similar gematria. When they said gematria, so it wasn't a joke, and it wasn't to be cute, but the gematria means that that's the essence of the word, of the words, of the phrase, Vayigash Elov Yehuda is begematria David ben Yishai. What's the connection? What does Yehuda approaching Yosef have to do with David ben Yishai? This parasha has 106 psukim. Every parasha has a number and a siman, a mnemonic to remember how many psukim the parasha has, and the word to remember how many psukim parashas Vayigash has, Yehalaleil. Yehalaleil is equal to 106. Yud Hei Lamed Lamed Aleph Lamed. That's how many psukim there are in parashas Vayigash. There are 106 psukim. What does Yehalaleil have to do with Vayigash? What's the connection? The siman of the parasha has to be related to the parasha. What exactly is Yehalaleil? The Svarim also tell us that the word Vayigash is the acronym, a pasuk in Tehillim, Yoidu Shimcha Gadol V'Noira. They praise your great and awesome name. What's that? It's a nice remez, but again, what does it have to do with Parashas Vayigash? We also find in the Sifrei Chassidus in particular, in Sifrei Chabad and other Svarim as well, Kedushas Levi, Noam Elimelech, Divrei Yisrael, many Svarim talk about, they all basically say the same idea, that Vayigash Elov Yehuda is a Jew davening to Hashem. Every year it's called Yehuda. Vayigash Elov Yehuda, a Jew approaches Hashem, even though Yehuda is approaching Yosef, but as Noam Elimelech writes, what he was telling Yosef was actually saying it to Hashem. Bi Adoini, Yadaber no Avdecha Dover, Ba'azni Adoini, Yalichar Apcha Be'avdecha. Tzadikim many times would say something, and you would think they were saying just idle talk, but really they were talking very holy and lofty words. Yehuda certainly. So Yehuda is talking to Yosef, who he thinks is the viceroy of Mitzrayim. He thinks he's talking to a goy. So, but his kavana was that he's talking to Hashem. He's approaching Yosef. He has to come on to him. He has to beg him that he shouldn't keep Binyamin, as we know what the parasha is talking about here. But he's really talking to Hashem. The Svarim, those Svarim that tell us this, say that this is that concept of smichas geula l'tfila. The Gemara says in Brachos, the Masechta, that the loimde dafyaymi, who tomorrow are gathering in a tremendous display of Kiddush Hashem to make a siyum hashas. And the Masechta that everyone is starting, when you finish Shas, you start over Masechta Brachos. So in Masechta Brachos, right at the beginning, the Gemara talks about Kol HaSoymech Geula L'Tfila. You're supposed to juxtapose Geula to Tfila. We end Kriya Shema with Baruch Atah Hashem Go'al Yisrael, and then we start Shemayna Esrei. Geula, Tfila. Yosef is Geula, Yehuda is Tfila, Smichas Geula L'Tfila, or in our time, Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Geula. So what comes after Chanukah? Teves. Now we have to daven. And we have a lot with the daven for as the month of Teves begins, because it's a difficult month. But we have the koyach of Chanukah to help us through. And when Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, he's afraid. He's afraid to go to Mitzrayim. Literally, he's afraid, because he lived in Eretz Yisrael for so many years, and Mitzrayim is Erevas Ha'oretz. Mitzrayim is an impure country that didn't espouse Kedusha. We know what Mitzrayim is. Just imagine where we live and think about the places in America. They don't necessarily remind us of Kedusha. And Mitzrayim at that time was the Erevas HaOretz, the Tumah of the land. So Yaakov is afraid to go down to Mitzrayim. So Hashem says, don't be afraid. Al tira meirida Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid. That's where you're going to become a great nation. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. And I will also bring you up from Mitzrayim. Which is the promise that despite that we're going into Golus, Hashem is going to take us out of Golus. Despite that Yaakov is going down to Mitzrayim, but he will be taken out. His body will be taken out of Mitzrayim. And in these psukim, it says, "Vayomer Elohim liYisrael b'marois halayla." This is an expression that is not found anywhere else in Chumash. That Hashem says to Yisrael in the visions of night, and He says, "Yaakov, Yaakov," which is interesting. We start off with the word Yisrael, and it switches to Yaakov, and Yaakov's reply is "Hineni." And this is where Hashem encourages him and tells him not to be afraid. We're now entering a dark time, a nighttime. Teves is the nighttime of the year, the longest nights of the year, the late Teves HaAruchim. So just like in the Torah, we read how Klal Yisrael are going down to Mitzrayim, we're entering Teves, which is the Mitzrayim of time. And just like in the Torah, Hashem is telling Yaakov, don't be afraid. We're also being told, don't be afraid. You had Hanukkah, you have Tefillah. Hashem is with us wherever we go, in any country and in every month. B'marois halayla is b'gematria chodesh teves. Teves is marois halayla. And we find here that the Torah switches from Yisrael to Yaakov. Yisrael is the name that is used when we're on a higher level. Yaakov is the lower level name. Yisrael would be Kislev. Yaakov is Teves. Chodesh Teves is the gematria Yisrael Yaakov. We go from Yisrael, we go down to Yaakov. We're going down, but we're going down doesn't mean that we're going to fall. We're going down, but the purpose of the descent, Yerida Tzorech Aliyah, the purpose is to reach greater heights. We're being tested. We're being challenged. We're not going to have a Yom Tov now for a while until Tu B'Shvat, and this period of time is a difficult time. But as we enter this time, we have the parasha of Vayigash, the parasha of Chizuk. Vayigash means to approach, to come close. One would think when we enter the month of Teves, we feel distanced, we feel far. Chanukah, we felt close. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, we felt close. Pesach, you feel close. Shavuos. But Teves, we feel very far away from Hashem. Because Teves is a very difficult month. And the parasha that we always read as we enter the month of Teves is Vayigash, which means to come close, to approach. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. It's interesting, too, that in this parasha, the root of this word is probably found more than in any other parasha. For example, when Yosef reveals himself to the brothers and they're in shock and they begin to walk back because they can't believe what they're hearing, so he says to them, Gishu no Eli, please come close to me. Gishu, like Vayigash. Vayigashu, and they come close. We also find in this parasha, V'yoshavta be'eretz Goshen, you will settle in the land of Goshen, and you will be close to me. V'hoysa korov Eli. This is Paroi talking. Goshen, the city of Goshen, you see on the highway, but that's a different Goshen. Goshen, that's in the Torah, is in Mitzrayim, although there's a Goshen that's also mentioned in the Sefer Yehoshua, that's part of Eretz Yisrael. The Shach al HaTorah, that's the Sifsei Kohen, one of the Talmidei Ho'arizal, says a Chiddush that this Goshen is somehow connected to the Goshen in Eretz Yisrael. There was like a strip of land that went out of Eretz Yisrael and entered the Goshen of Mitzrayim. So to a certain degree, Goshen and Mitzrayim was like considered Eretz Yisrael. But the word Goshen is found for the first time here in this week's parasha, and it's mentioned over and over again, many, many times. There's Yehuda Shalach Lefonov, Lehoiros Lefonov, Goshna, Vayavoyu Arza, Goshen, Vayesayoy, Vayal Lekras Yisrael, Aviv Goshna. Later again, Yoshafta be'eretz Goshen, Yeshu be'eretz Goshen, over and over again. We know, once we are told what city they're going to be settling in, the Torah repeats it over and over again. And in fact, the last pasuk of the parasha, the final pasuk of Vayigash, the 106th pasuk. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim be'eretz Goshen. The whole parasha we've been told that that's where they settled, but again, the Torah repeats it over and over again. This word, Goshen, Goshna, Geshu, Vayigashu, Vayigash, all have the same root. Gimel Shin, Gesh, in Parshas Vayera, Vayoyimru, Gesh Hola. The Malachim said, the Anshei Sedoim rather said to the Malachim who came to Lot, Gesh Hola, move away. Let us say Gesh Hola. Gesh means actually to come close. Hola means go far away, as Rashi discusses in the pasuk over there. So, Vayigash indicates a closeness. Nearby. In Goshen, you're close to Hashem. The Jews in Golus always tried to live separate from the Goyim. Am levada d'yishkoi. In the olden days, it was the ghettos. And in Mitzrayim, it was Goshen. They did not mingle with the nations. They didn't mingle with the Goyim as much as they could. They stayed away. And Goshen was the place where the Jews settled. It was their own enclave. It was their place, which we just mentioned from the Shach, was considered like Eretz Yisrael. However, we find a very sharp statement made by the Klei Yoka here at the last, and in the parasha at the end here, the last pasuk, which perhaps we can connect to the current events, what's going on now here in America. Not that anyone knows why this is happening. We don't know why there's a rise in anti-Semitism now. But really, one doesn't have to be too smart to really see what's happening. And you don't have to be a Navi or any Chacham. And it's certainly, as we'll see, a fact. This we can't hide, as we'll see what the Klei Yoker says. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim be'eretz Goshen. Says the Klei Yoker, this entire pasuk, he says, be'ashmas b'nei Yisrael hu medaber. This is, of course, no intent here to talk negative about Klal Yisrael. But it's something that's important to emphasize. And the Klei Yoker says that this pasuk is telling us what caused the Golus, why the Golus intensified. They forgot that they were in Golus. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozar aleihem ki geir yihi ezaracha. That wherever Jews go, they should feel like strangers. They should not feel like citizens. Vehema bikshu liyos toishavim. They wanted, however, to be citizens. They wanted to feel at home. They wanted to mingle. They wanted to be the same, equal rights like everyone else. They didn't want to stand out. Where really they're supposed to be geirim, where they're supposed to be strangers. So the Torah says the Klei Yoker is scolding the Jewish people for settling in Mitzrayim. Initially, as we say in the Haggadah, they didn't come lehishtakeya ela lagur. They came just to as passerbys. We're going to only be here temporarily. But eventually they became part and parcel of the land to the point that they did not want to go out of Mitzrayim until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take them out biyod chazaka. And those that did not want to go out died during the 3 days of Afela. So the Klei Yoker is telling us something very, very important. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim be'eretz Goshen, especially in Goshen where we feel like, wow, we're living in Eretz Yisrael. In Borough Park, in Williamsburg, in Crown Heights, in Muncie, Lakewood, we're in Eretz Yisrael. We forget that really we're not in Eretz Yisrael. And we think, we try as much as possible to be as comfortable as we can, to build the nicest houses and all the shopping centers. Is that what's supposed to be? And that's when all the tzoras come. That's what the Klei Yoker writes. The Klei Yoker writes this other places too. He says, antagonizing the nations doesn't mean necessarily battling them in wars. He says it means, sort of, as we say, ripping their eyes out. They see these beautiful castles and buildings that the Jews are building in their lands, and it affects them. That's not how it's supposed to be. A statement was made a year ago when the terrible attack occurred in Pittsburgh, and there wasn't a religious synagogue. And a statement was made as if anti-Semitism is only really against the non-religious. It's the fault of the non-religious, someone said. That's clearly nonsense. First of all, what's going on now is happening only in religious communities. Think about it. Only where Frum Jews live. So this is obviously a message to Frum Jews. Not a message to non-frum Jews. It's a message to us. We're the ones that Hashem is trying to be ma'orer. We're the ones that Hashem is saying, don't you know you're in Golus? Don't you want to get out of Golus? And Hashem is sort of saying to us, do I have to remind you that you're in Golus? Do I have to scare you? On our own, we should know that. But this is what happens. The Meshech Chochmah wrote this in the 1920s. Parshas B'chukaisai, as everyone knows, the Meshech Chochmah wrote, that we're getting too comfortable in Germany. And he said, we think Berlin is Yerushalayim. We don't have to say anything more than that. We know what the outcome of that was. So Chas V'Shalom, that in the United States of America, where everyone, of course, believes that America is the country which was never so good to Klal Yisrael, which is true, it's a Malchus Chesed. We see here that the government certainly is trying to battle anti-Semitism. This is not coming from the government, hopefully never. It's not coming from, it's not state-sponsored anti-Semitism. Nevertheless, it has to be that this is one of the remuzim, one of the hints that Hashem is trying to hint to us, and hopefully the last one, so we'll get the message quick enough, that we are in Golus. We have to remember that. And we can't act and think that this is our country and double park all over the place and rip out their eyes and say, "This is what are you doing to us? This is our neighborhood. This is fighting for things which are necessarily not important." Who says we're supposed to do that? And then we wonder why we bring sometimes the hatred on ourselves. This is what the Klei Yochar says here. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim be'eretz Goyshe vayeochazu bo. They think it's their achuza, it's their inheritance. They think they're going to stay there forever. We daven every day as tzemach David avdecha meheiros hatzmiach v'sechazena einei v'b'shuvachol etzion v'rachem. Do we mean it? If we're settling here and making our houses more and fancy and more building and more marble and nicer shopping centers and more food, more restaurants, so what does that mean? Are we really looking forward to leave America, or do we think we're staying here? But after we hear these stories, we start to change our minds a little bit. We start to realize, one minute, we better stop. We really don't belong here. And there's one other thing, and that's very, very obvious in the parasha here, and that's something which Chazal told us over and over again. We all know that the chait that caused Churban Bayis Sheni is sinas chinam, baseless hatred. And what's going to end it is ahavas chinam, baseless love. This whole parsha is rooted on that. Yosef and Yehuda joined together. Vayigash Elov Yehuda, the two kingdoms. As we spoke 2 weeks ago, there's the Malchus of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. And for a while, they're at odds with each other. When they unite, that's when the Geula comes. That's why Vayigash Elov Yehuda, as we mentioned before from the Svarim, is the gematria of David ben Yishai. When Yehuda and Yosef join together, when they join forces, when Malchus base Yosef joins with Malchus base David, Mashiach ben Yosef sort of hands over the reins to Mashiach ben David, whereas some learn it's really one person, then we are zeichet to David ben Yishai Mashiachecha. In the parasha here, Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. There's no more confusion. There's clarity. And it's interesting because we're entering now a month where there is no clarity. Teves is a dark month. This is the month in which the Torah was translated into Greek on Ches Teves. This is the month that they found out in Bavel on Hey Teves that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. This is the month of the Leida of Eisai HaIsh. Eisai HaIsh is Begematria Chodesh Teves. And then, of course, the siege that took place on Asara B'Teves. But if we look at Parshas Vayigash, in Parshas Vayigash, we have great news. The great news that Yaakov finds out that Oid Yosef Chai. Imagine thinking your child was dead for 22 years, and then you find out that he's alive and well. And as great and holy as he was, even greater than he was when you saw him 22 years ago, Oid Yosef Chai, v'chihu moishel b'chol eres Mitzrayim. Not only that, Yosef tells the brothers, I speak Loshon HaKodesh, ki pi ha-medaber aleichem, as Rashi says, b'Loshon HaKodesh. Because one of the tragedies that took place in Teves was the translation of the Torah into Greek, or the translation of the Torah into the 70 languages, and the purpose was not an art scroll production, the purpose was to contaminate the Torah. They translated the Torah into a foreign language to take Loshon HaKodesh and turn Lashon HaKodesh into any other language like any of the other 70 languages. But Yosef HaTzadik tells the brothers, when I talk, ki pi amedaber aleichem, I speak b'loshen hakodesh. Doesn't mean necessarily that he speaks Hebrew. It means that even when I speak Egyptian, even when I speak English, it's b'loshen hakodesh. It's in a holy tongue. It's different than the way the nations speak. Our way of speaking has to be different. We don't talk the same way. We don't use the same jargon, we don't use the same language as they. Hey Teves was the day when they found out that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in Bavel. It took in those days, they didn't have text, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have other methods of communication, so things took a long time to find out. So although the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed Tisha B'Av, in Bavel, they first found out on Hey Teves, as the Pasuk says in Yecheskel. And according to one opinion in the Gemara, in Tainus, that's actually the day you're supposed to be fasting. Not Asara B'Teves, Hey Teves. But we fast Asara B'Teves, and in the Slichus of Asara B'Teves, we mention that tragedy too. So we mention actually four tragedies. The news that came to Bavel, that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and when they found out about it, for them, that was as if that was their Tisha B'Av. That's when they found out about it, on Hey Teves. And then the day that the Torah was translated into a foreign language, which also was a tragic event, because the purpose was not to decimate the Torah, to spread Torah. And the day of Tes Teves, which was the death of Ezra, the last Navi that we ever had. That means in Teves, Nevuah came to an end, the glorious era of prophecy, which when we have prophecy, we have clarity. Without prophecy, no clarity. That means in Teves, Klal Yisrael were plunged into disarray and confusion, no clarity. And then, of course, Yerushalayim is placed in a siege. But yet in this parsha, there's clarity. Parsha's Vayigash, everything now makes sense. There was no more confusion. And we hear good news. And Yosef is alive. Oy, Yosef Chai. This to counter the tragic events of Teves. You have in Parshas Vayigash the opposite. You have clarity, you have light, you have Jews uniting. The Golus is because of lack of Achdus, because of division, because of disunity, because we can't tolerate one another. And here in this parsha we have Achdus. And as the Torah is telling us, what's the way to end the Golus? How do we bring Mashiach? When Chanukah ends, Chanukah is, as the Bnei Yisoscha says, and we discussed this already, Oiroi Shel Melech HaMashiach. Chanukah is the light of Mashiach. It's a taste of Mashiach. The Bnei Yisoscha says it's the Chinuch, Chanukah Miloshim Chinuch, to Yemais HaMashiach. It's the initiation, it's the educating us for Yemais HaMashiach. Like a child is given a Chinuch, so that when he gets older, he'll know what to do. Chanukah is the chinuch to prepare us for the Geula. That means what should come after Chanukah? The Geula. What is the Yom Tov of Chanukah? Chanukah is the Yom Tov of praising Hashem. The real institution, the real kvius Yom Tov of Chanukah, as the Gemara says, kovum b'halel v'hoidu'a, to praise and thank Hashem. A Jew has to constantly praise and thank Hashem, and not only when things are going well. That's understood. But even when things are not going well, even when you think it's not going well, even when we perceive things as difficult, and we don't understand, and we don't know why the attack happened by Tzoy Shabbos in Muncie, we don't know why this shooting happened, and this attack, and that attack, and in this neighborhood, and we're confused, and we're nervous, and we're scared, a Jew continues to thank Hashem, of course, and to beg Hashem to end the madness, but at the same time, to continue to thank and praise Hashem, because we know that it's all for good. And if it's a warning, it's also for good, because a warning means so that we should learn a lesson from what happened, so that it won't happen again. It's all for the good. A Jew has to continue praising and thanking Hashem the whole year, not just Hanukkah. We don't have a one-day Thanksgiving, or a Father's Day and a Mother's Day once a year. A Jew is constantly honoring his parents. A Jew is always thanking Hashem. Ma'ida ani every morning. Ma'ida min shmeina esrei every day three times. You make a bracha every day before you eat and after you eat and benching and constantly thanking Hashem. And even when we don't understand, and there are brachas that we make for negative, for chas v'shalom, baruch dayin ha'emes, or other brachas that are made when not necessarily do we perceive it as good. That's why the combination, as we said, the amount of psukim and parshas Vayigash is Yahalalel. And the idea is When Hanukkah is over, and now you enter Teves, and there might be some confusion now. We hope that Mashiach comes right away, because that's really what should happen. Right after Hanukkah, we should go straight into the Yemos HaMashiach. It should be Vayigash Elov Yehuda B'Gematria David Ben Yishai. It should be the unity of Malchus Yosef and Malchus Yehuda, as we see here in the Parsha. But until that happens, until we actually are zeichet to it, even if we have to go a little bit into Teves and experience the darkness of Teves, we take the Hanukkah with us. We schlep, pull Hanukkah into Teves. Vayigash. Vayigash means to take two things and bring them together. Echad be'echad yigoshun, as the Medrash quotes the Pasuk. Venigash chayresh ba'koitzer, as the Medrash quotes the Pasuk. That means that two things and bringing them together. Bring Hanukkah into Teves. Pull Hanukkah into Teves. Take the days of Hallel v'Hoidah into Teves and continue praising and thanking Hashem. And that itself will lighten, will rip up the Satan. There's a phrase that many say in Onna B'Koyach, Kabel Rinas Amecha, Sagveinu Tahareinu Noira. That means accept the song of your people, strengthen us, purify us, awesome one. That phrase is the acronym Kra Satan. Kabel, Rinas, Amecha, Sagveinu, Tahareinu, Noira. This is one of what's called the Shem Mem Beis. This is part of Hashem's name, known as the name of 42. It's Ana B'Koyach. Ana B'Koyach, which many have accustomed to say by the Hanukkah and the Noira, seven times. Each night of Hanukkah, except Friday night, you say Ana B'Koyach seven times, each pasuk seven times. Kabel, one of the phrases, one of the stanzas is Kabel Rinas Amecha Sagveinu Tahareinu Noira. Some say it in Shemayna Esrei and Elokai Netzor every day. And that's Kra Satan, rip the Satan. Chodesh Teves is the exact gematria of Kra Satan. Meaning, even though Teves is the month when the Satan sort of takes over, the Satan is Mekatreg, as we mentioned before, Satan Mekatreg B'Shas HaSakana. But Chodesh Teves is B'Gematria Kras Satan. The goal is to rip the Satan up. Don't let him prosecute. Continue thanking Hashem. Because the Satan is waiting, similar to after Yom Kippur. When Yom Kippur is over, we know that's a very scary time, because the Satan is waiting when Yom Kippur ends, and he says, I want to see if they really meant what they said they're going to do on Yom Kippur. Let's see if their tshuva was real. So that's why we have to be very careful when Yom Kippur is over, not to do Averis so quickly. The minig is to wake up the next morning 5 minutes earlier and daven earlier the next morning. We got to show Hashem that we really meant the tshuva that we did, and the Satan is wrong. So we try already then to rip up Kra Satan. Now, since Chanukah, as we spoke already in the last few weeks, is the Hemshech of Yom Kippur, Chanukah is the Gemar Chasima Toiva. Zois Chanukah is the Gemar Chasima Toiva, and it extends till after Shabbos, really, as mentioned before. So the Satan is waiting now, too. He's waiting. He wants to be able to start prosecuting again, like after Yom Kippur. He says to Hashem, you know, they thanked you the whole Chanukah. Let's see if they still thank you. Let's see if they'll thank you even for that which it's not clear that it's good. We find that Yaakov Avinu, when Paray asked him, how old are you? Why did Paray ask Yaakov, how old are you? It's not really a nice thing to ask people, how old are you? Because Yaakov looked his age. He looked very ancient. Who wouldn't? He went through the worst tragedies. He suffered with Lavan and Esav and Dinah and Yosef and Shimon and Binyamin. It was a nace that Yaakov didn't die of a heart attack. He almost did. By Yafag Liba, there are those who learned that means he had a heart attack. By Yafag Liba in this week's parish. So he looked his age. He looked wrinkled and old. So Paray asked him, how old are you? So Yaakov says to Paray, this is in this week's parish, I am 130 years old. And then he said, Me'at viro'im, small and bad was my life. The lohi sigu es yemei shnei chaya avois hai b'mei megurei. As Rashi says, lohi sigu b'toiva. I didn't have a good life, he said, like my father did and my grandfather did. I suffered. I had a terrible life. So you're wondering why I look like the way I look? That's why. Chazal tell us, because Yaakov spoke that way, we can't blame him, but because he spoke that way, he lost 33 years of his life. He was supposed to live 180 years like his father. He lived 147. Because if you count how many words there are from the pasuk that says that Paro asked him how old he is until after he finished speaking and saying how difficult his life was, there are 33 words. So 33 years are decreased from his life. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal asks, you can only blame Yaakov for his answer. You can't blame Yaakov for the fact that Paro asked him how old you are. Why should he lose 33 years? If you count how many words there are from when Yaakov told Paro what type of life he had, that's less than 33. Why does he get punished for the fact that the Torah tells us that Paro asked him how old he is? Because the whole thing is 33 words. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, because of the way he looked. He looked so sad, and his eyes were swollen, imagine, and how wrinkled. That's why Paro asked him how old you are. Notice, if he was always smiling and he was always thanking Hashem for everything, he would have looked a lot younger. Paro wouldn't have asked him how old are you. So he's sort of blamed for the question. So that's also part of the 33 words, and that's why he loses 33 years. Torah tells us this now. The Torah tells us this as we enter Teves. Because the Torah is like hinting to us, there might in Teves, you might have some difficult times. So you have to remember, Yaakov was punished. I mean, Yaakov is so great, we can't even talk about Yaakov Avinu. But this is a medrash, that Yaakov is punished because he complained and because he called his life bad. Nothing's bad. It's hard to say that sometimes. But everything is good. We have to believe that. I'm not holding it up, Madreg. I'm saying what's supposed to be. Kol ma'ad ovid rachmana l'tav ovid. Gamzu l'toiva. It's a Madreg, obviously. The person has to realize. Last night, Rabbi Shalom Mordechai Rabashkin celebrated 2 years of being released from prison. And here's a person living in our generation who exemplified. He, every day that he was in jail, thanked Hashem, never complained. Said that everything is for the good, and he was there for 8.5 years, longer than Yosef was in prison, longer than the Baal HaTanya was in prison, and he got out and lived to tell the story and tell everyone what Emunah, what Betochen is. And that's Chanukah. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Betochen. Chanukah is the Yom Tov that teaches us that no matter what the situation, you have to thank Hashem. Because we thank Hashem on Chanukah, and we light the menorah on the left side, as we spoke already, below 10 tefachim, outside at night, when things are difficult, that's when you light the menorah. In the dark, long nights of Teves, because Chanukah extends into Teves. And a Jew continues thanking Hashem. That's where Vayigash, as we said, but the Sfarim tell us, is Rosh HaTeves, Yoidu Shimcha Godoyel Venoira. They praise your name, Gadol. What's Gadol? Gadol means Chesed. L'cho Hashem HaGedula, that's Chesed. And Noira is Din. That means when things are not the way you would like it, you still praise and thank Hashem. Yoidu Shimcha Gadol V'Noira. When it's Gadol, when it's Noira. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, but Hashem Echad. As the Sfarim explained, the Maral and others, and this we say every single day and at night. We proclaim, we believe in Hashem, and that everything is good, despite that sometimes it's Elokeinu. Hashem is Chesed, Elokeinu is Din. That even when there's Hashem, there's Elokeinu, but it's all Hashem Echad, it's all coming from one God, and it's all good. It's all Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's all good. And the combination of Hashem's name, we spoke about this 2 days ago, of Teves, is the last letters of Gadlu LaHashem Iti Uneroi Memoshemoi. And that's means praising Hashem. Well, so many will tell you, because the first day of Teves is Chanukah. So that's why the combination of Hashem's name has to do with praising Hashem. No. It means you have to continuously praise Hashem the entire Teves. And as the Sfasema says, it's supposed to last till the end of Teves. The 36 candles correspond to the 36 days from the first day of Chanukah to the last day of Teves, or 36 days. So this parasha of Vayigash has in it the directives for Golos, for Teves, for Ikvus of the Mashiach, for the time we're in right now. Number one, Achdus, the unity of the Jewish people. Who has to be unified? The Frum Jews have to be unified. Unfortunately, where does the Satan always win? Is that he makes a machloikas among frum Jews. And of course, it's always l'shem shamayim, right? Yosef and the brothers, it all started with that machloikas, and it continues and it continues. Malchus Beis David and Aseres HaShvatim and Nechlek HaMalchus, and throughout the ages until today, Ad HaYayim HaZeh, it's machloikas, and one machloikas after another machloikas. Because that's the key. The Satan knows that until the Jews unite, he's in charge. Everything else they get together for. There are sifas for everything. For the internet, for tznias, but for achdus, that still didn't happen. It's better than it was, true. And tomorrow is going to be a tremendous achdus. Let that be the great achdus that will bring the geula this week already. But achdus is the key. What do we see at the beginning of this week's parasha? Yosef cannot control himself, the pasuk says. V'lo yachol Yosef lehis apek. So he tells everyone, get out of the room. All the Egyptians should get out. And then he reveals himself to his brothers. And he says, Ani Yosef ha'oid avichai. The Al-Shech HaKadosh tells us that was not the plan. The plan was he was going to keep Binyamin. And he was going to tell the brothers, okay, you want Binyamin back? Bring your father down. That was the plan. Because Yosef knew that the dreams that he had to be fulfilled. He didn't want Yaakov to bow to him knowing who he was. He didn't feel that was respectful. So this way Yaakov will come down, and not knowing who he is, he'll have to bow to him, and then afterwards he'll reveal who he is. But Yosef couldn't control himself any longer. V'lo yachol Yosef lehisapek. I'm not waiting. I'm going to reveal myself now already. What's the lesson? There are two times that Mashiach can come. Ani Hashem be'ita achishana. Mashiach can come when he has to come. There is a zman that Mashiach must come by that time. He cannot tarry even one second later. No one knows when that time is. They tried to figure it out. No one ever figured it out. Not Daniel, not Yaakov Avinu, we'll see in next week's parasha, tried to reveal the case that it was concealed from him. And all the great tzaddikim, Reb Sadia Gaon and Rashi and the Ramban and Malbim and even in our generation, based on Psukim and Daniel, not that they were all wrong, these were all times that Mashiach could have come. But the actual date, that he has to come by that date, and he can't come any later, but that's only, of course, if we didn't deserve it. That's why it's not good if we wait till that time. That's called Be'ita. When that time comes and we still didn't deserve it, he's going to come anyway. But then it could be there'll be a lot of tragedies that come along with it. We don't want it to be that way. The goal is to make Mashiach come earlier. Achishena. Before that. Even a week before that, but hopefully many, many years before that. Who knows where we're holding? We have no idea. Many tzaddikim have said that we're already holding by the Be'ita already. So if we do what we're supposed to, if Klal Yisrael unites and shows Hashem that we're all one, despite our differences, despite our different yarmulkes, and despite our different ways of davening, and despite our different opinions about things, which are all able to able divrei Elokim Chayim anyway, and even if some are wrong, but still we're all part of Klal Yisrael, we all have to get together, then that will bring the geula even before it has to happen. Look what happened over here. Yosef was not about to reveal himself. He was going to wait and have Binyamin taken, and he was going to take Binyamin, send them back to get Yaakov, and then he would reveal himself. But Yehuda approaches Yosef. Vayigash elav Yehuda. And Yehuda begs him, and he says, Avdecha orav, I guaranteed my father that I'm going to bring Binyamin back. And not only that I'm going to bring him back, but I told him that if I don't bring him back, I lose my Olam Haba. Right? Yehuda said, V'chatosi lo'avi kol ha'yamin. And Yehuda also was crying to Yosef and told Yosef, if our father looks out the window and sees all of us coming back and Binyamin is not there, he will die. So you'll never get him. What's your plan? You want to bring Yaakov down? It's not going to happen. As it says here, he will not be able to survive. Yaakov would have died. It would have been too much for him to handle. He would look out the window and say, where's Binyamin? Before they would have a chance to explain, that would have been the end. So Yehuda's begging Yosef, please, please, don't make us do this. You want a slave? Take me instead. And he says, ki avdecha orav es hanar. I guaranteed his return. I told my father that if I don't bring him back, I lose this world, I lose the next world. When Yosef saw that a Jew is willing to give up his Olam Haba for another Jew, And let's remember, Yehuda and Binyamin did not have the same mother. That means even a Jew that's not like you. If you are able to be Moisa Nefesh for another Jew, if you're able to care about a Jew who's even on the other side of the world, you don't even know who that Jew is. The Baal Shem Tov said that Avas Yisrael means you love a Jew that you never ever saw, you never met. And you love a Rosh HaGomer like you love a Tzadik Gomer, the Baal Shem Tov said. Because we're all Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem. When Yosef saw that, he said, I don't have to wait. I'm going to reveal myself now. They deserve now that I reveal myself to them. Meaning, this is a metaphor what's going to happen. The Torah is telling us it doesn't have to be that we have to wait till the very bitter end. Because it could happen earlier. If we follow the footsteps of Yehuda, who was Maisa Nefesh for Binyamin, gave up everything, risked everything to bring Binyamin back to his father, which today that would mean to bring Jews back, La'avihem Shebashamayim, and to join together with other Jews, then Hashem will reveal himself to us earlier than the time of Be'ita. So in this parsha we have the key. The key is the unity. And as we said, the Torah is telling us, don't get comfortable in Golus. I shouldn't have to remind you. Remember, it was only supposed to be a Geirus. Ki Geir Yihi Azaracha Be'eretz Lo'ilohem. Or as Yosef says to the brothers, I'll tell Paroi Lagur Be'eretz Banu. They're coming here to sojourn. They're coming here to be here temporarily, not to settle. But unfortunately, what happens is Vayeshev Yisrael. This always happened. We never learned our lesson. Wherever Jews lived, they became too comfortable. Then eventually we had to leave and we found out that we were better. We shouldn't have been so comfortable. And we found out who our neighbors were afterwards. We hope that will not happen here. But very clearly that we're being reminded. There's no question about that. This has to be correct. No one knows why things are happening. It's not for us to say, but it's definitely a message from Shemayim that we should stop and realize where we are. This is not Eretz Yisrael. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. This is not the time of Geula. We are now in Golus, and we have to remember that we're in Golus, and we have to make a Kiddush Hashem when we're in Golus, not Chas V'Shalom Achilul Hashem, and have the Goyim talk negative about us and say that we do things that are not right, and sometimes it could be true. That when we make a Chil Hashem, we can't blame them. We can't just scream anti-Semitism. We are in Golus. We have to remember that. It's a very, very important thing. And unfortunately, we didn't learn the lesson in Europe and in other places. And we had to go through a harsh awakening. Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Mitzrayim. Remember what happened then. Don't repeat that mistake. And stay unified. Be be'achdus. Stay together. And then we'll be able to get through Teves, we'll be able to get through Mitzrayim, we'll be able to get through Golus, and we'll be Zeicha to the Geula. And it could happen even earlier than it's supposed to happen. And we'll be Zeicha to Vayigash Eilav Yehuda B'Gematria David Ben Yishai. When the two Meluchos, the two kingdoms of Yosef and Yehuda joined together, as we spoke 2 weeks ago, that when Yosef had the dreams, those dreams were Ruach HaKodesh. Those dreams were not just nonsense. Those dreams were prophecy that there's going to be a time that Yosef will rule. That's why they fought him. As we spoke 2 weeks ago, that was the Melchama. They felt he was a rebel. He's going against Malchus Beis David. But his dreams were a fulfillment of a prophecy that has to first be Mashiach ben Yosef and then Mashiach ben David. And then the Geula comes. And this is all in this week's parasha and in the Haftarah. The Haftarah this week is the first Haftarah of the year. Let's remember, this is the 11th parasha of Chumash since Bereshis. And the first Haftarah that talks to us about Mashiach is Vayigash. One wonders, we're entering Teves now. We're going down to Mitzrayim. And it's a very difficult time period. And next week, if Chas V'Shalom is still in Golus, comes Asara B'Teves, which is the beginning of the fast days that lead up to Tisha B'Av. And the Haftarah is about Mashiach. And in Vayigash, we have the Jews joining together because the Torah is telling us it doesn't have to be. You don't have to be fasting next week. It doesn't mean that we're entering a difficult time. We can change it. We can turn this around and Teves will become, as the Tzvila Tzadik writes, Teves is Rosh Teves, Tevasreinu B'soyreis Teves. Or as the Imre Noyam writes, Teves is Rosh Teves, Sekademenu B'rchois Tov. It's a pasuk in Tehillim Kapitel Chaf Aleph, where it talks about Moshiach, Tekademenu Birchais Toiv, Rosh Teves, Teves, Toivais. Every month has a letter that month was created with. Teves was created with the letter Ayin. This is the parasha that talks about the Ayin. The Ayin is the 70, the number 70, which indicates the 70 nations, the Golos of the Ayin Umais, or as the Chassam Sofer writes in this week's parasha, it says, Agolos, that Yosef sent wagons to Paroi. Agolos is Ayin Golos. The Golos of Ayin. In Mitzrayim, Paroi knew all 70 languages. But he made Yosef promise not to tell anyone that he didn't know Lashon HaKodesh, as the Gemara says. He swore he won't tell anyone. And then later, when Paroi didn't want to let him take Yaakov's body out of Mitzrayim, and he said, I have to take him. I swore to my father. He said, so what? So you swore. Okay, so what? So I swore not to tell anyone that you don't know Hebrew. I'll tell everyone you don't know Lashon HaKodesh. Say, oh, okay, let your father go. So Paroi had to know all the 70 languages. And Yosef, it says, Malach Gavriel taught him all the 70 languages when he was in prison. Why did Paroi have to know all the 70 languages for? Mitzrayim is only one country. Because Mitzrayim represented all the nations. It was the melting pot. Mitzrayim then was like the United States of America today. Today, we live in Mitzrayim today. America is the Mitzrayim of our time. The Erev HaSa'aretz of our time. And America is a melting pot of all the 70 nations. People, immigrants came from all over the world here. That's what Mitzrayim was then. So the letter Ayin indicates Golus. Nation, the nations, 70 nations. Where's the first Ayin in Chumash? In the beginning of Chumash, V'ha'aretz ha'isa soyhu v'avoyhu v'choyshech al p'nei sahoim. That's the Al of the Ayin of Al, which is talking about Edom. It's talking about the last Golos and the Golos of all the Ayin Umays. But in this week's parasha, we find that Klal Yisrael reached the number 70. They came down to Mitzrayim with 70 in the Fashos. Yecheved, we know, was the 70th Nefesh, because the Pasuk says there were 70, there were only 69, right? So Chazal tells us that it was Yecheved. Who's she? The mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. That means as Klal Yisrael are entering the Golos, as they're going down to Mitzrayim, the mother of the Redeemer is born. The Geula is beginning. As we're entering the Golos, the Geula is already starting. As we're entering Teves, we have Chanukah. Chanukah lights up the Teves. Yecheved lights up Mitzrayim. And then eventually she marries Amram. Then Moshe Rabbeinu is born. He's the Redeemer. And he takes us out of Mitzrayim. As we read in the parashas that are coming up. It's all here. Vayigash is the parasha of Golos. But at the same time, it tells us how to get out of the Golos. How to end the Golos. Follow in the footsteps of Yehuda and Yosef and the Shvatim who united in this week's parasha. One may ask, so why did the Golos continue? Why did they have to stay in Mitzrayim if they united? So now they should get out of Mitzrayim right away? Good question. That was a gezeirah that they had to be the Eretz Lo Elohem from before already. They had to be there. But this, that they got together and they united here in Vayigash, that's what kept them going. That's what's going to end the Golos, and that will end the Golos in our time too. And let's hope that whatever we heard till now is the last tragedy, the last of the car accidents, Rahman al-Islam, that we hear about, or people that are sick. All of these events are clearly part of Chevlei Moshiach. Chevlei Moshiach, every person goes through their own personal Chevlei Moshiach. There is no person that can say, well, I have a perfect life. There is no such thing. Everyone knows there's no such thing. Everyone has their peckle. And those who tell you they don't, they're not telling you the truth. Everyone has a peckle. And everyone has what their nisyonos, and everyone has their challenges. And we have to know that our challenges are our personal Chevlei Moshiach. And joined together with everyone else's Chevlei Moshiach, that's what's going to bring down Moshiach. And when we realize that we're not supposed to be here, and we have to cry out to Hashem that we really want Moshiach, we're supposed to really ask for Mashiach when things are good. And we had it good till now. But it looks like we don't really get it. So Hashem has to send us a reminder. Enough reminders. May we be zeicher that all of us should take the lesson seriously. Cry out to Hashem. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. To daven to Hashem with all our heart. To take us out of Golos. To bring us back to Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. To unite together with all Jews. And maybe this great event that's taking place tomorrow with so many tens and thousands, or who knows, even more, all over the world, uniting to complete the entire Shas and to start over again in a display of unity and a display of a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, may that itself be the springboard that's going to take us out of Golus, bring us to the Geula Hamitas Vashlema, and may we all be Zeicha to feast on this Hasara B'Teves and dance on this Hasara B'Teves in Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh with the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi together with Mashiach Tzidkenu immediately. Have a good evening.